This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin hour number three. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here. I am in downtown Las Vegas at Circus Sports. He is our closer in Cleveland, Ohio. Got the Big Bird ready to get out there to Omaha for the College World Series. Jensen, how soon after we're done are you out of here?
We're comfortable. We'll have a little lunch here at the pad, and then we got a little I think we're at 2:45 Eastern time, so
you got some
about
time.
Quarter to seven. Get us a steak.
Oh,
in Omaha steaks. Let's go. and then we'll test connection. We'll be right as rain. Hour earlier start in the body clock time, though, because it'll be on Central time. So
oh, yeah.
I'll set my alarm accordingly.
You big leaguers know all about travel. So does our next guest, Cody Decker. Give him a follow on X at Decker6. Joins us here in the Progressive Guest Line. Cody, do you miss the travel, the rigmarole of the Major League Baseball lifestyle of being on those birds from city to city?
No. God, no. I the one thing I miss about baseball, and I do mean this, the one thing, was the clubhouse. I enjoyed being in the clubhouse with the guys. I enjoyed putting everything together for the game. But playing the game, no. I'd rather throw myself down a flight of stairs. Traveling with the team, I'd rather throw myself off a building. Pass. You have no idea what it's like to get all those Southwest miles in AAA, buddy.
Wow.
He's not wrong. I know we've experienced the PCL, or at least whatever it is now these days. That is nothing to, you know, even just aspire to want. The 4 a.m. wake up. That's if you finish early. That's if you finish at like 10:30. You know, you get to the
lucky
hotel, what, 11:15? If you're lucky to get 3 hours of sleep, no question. Team no sleep, though, buddy.
The worst.
How about we talk a little West Coast action here? Dodgers, Padres. For me, scheduling quirk, like weird to see the first time you match up with a division opponent 2 months into the season, but here we are.
Yeah.
First 2 days in the books here. What do you take away from this series so far?
What I'm taking away right now, and obviously this is early in the season, and we cannot sit here and pretend that the Dodgers do not have 16, count it, 16 pitchers on the IL, yet they're still a half game ahead of the Padres. I think this is an evenly matched up teams as far as offensive prowess goes. But if the Dodgers can get healthy, the Dodgers are the best team ever assembled ever, and they still have 40 wins, and they're still a half game above. I think this is an opportunity for the Padres to kind of get a little ahead of the Dodgers while they can. We watched it yesterday in the Dylan Cease game right there, 10-1 bludgeoning right there. I'm not worried about the Dodgers even a little, even if they lose 10 more arms, because you know what the Dodgers are. They're a factory. They just build and build and build. That old thing that we used to always say, the Rays model. Well, the Dodgers model is the Rays model, but souped up on 90 million pounds of steroids because they have money to throw around.
You know, Cody, I'm looking at this thing, and you guys are mentioning there with the Dodgers and the Padres and that series going on, and the Giants only a half game behind L.A., and the Padres that one game back there in third place. That's the closest division, and it's not close, right? The next closest one would be a three-game lead here for Houston over Seattle in the AL West. Out of those sizable leads, right, like Cubs have a five-game lead here, and we're seeing the Yankees with a four-game lead, are there any division? Tigers now stretched out to an eight-game lead there. Are there any divisions that might be fugazi that they don't appear close now, but if you look in the rear view, they should be closer than they currently appear?
I don't know why I'm not buying the Cubs yet, because the Cubs are playing fantastic baseball. They truly, truly, truly are. I watched their game yesterday. They looked good against the Phillies. Offensively, they're doing a phenomenal job. But pitching wise, I keep looking at that bullpen, knowing at some point something's got to give. I think at some point they're going to lose some ground, possibly to the Cardinals, who are playing out of their mind right now. The Brewers are still sticking around. Now the Reds and the Pirates. I was wrong on the Reds, it looks like. Now, I'm glad they're two games over 500, but I thought this was going to be the year they took that extra step forward. Doesn't seem like they're ready to do it just yet. And the Brewers don't really go away. The Cardinals, however, are a very unique case to me right now, because the Cardinals are far better than we all gave them credit for at the beginning of the season. And by the way, Nolan Arenado, watch out for him tonight, because Nolan Arenado is facing Eric Lauer. His numbers against Eric Lauer are phenomenal. It's very rare when you get a matchup where a guy has five home runs against a guy. So I'd play everything today, Nolan Arenado against the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I love it. And again, when we think about just the hitter pitcher matchups too, just certain guys that are now starting to get their sea legs about them, 60, 65 plus games into the season, no question about it. Again, we look at teams that maybe have trended under the radar and now have elevated. And I want to go to the American League East here, Cody. Tampa Bay, it just feels like under the cover of night, all of a sudden, you know, now into second place. The Toronto Blue Jays, I don't know how they're still doing it, but they are doing it. And they may have some reinforcements in the rotation with Max Scherzer coming here soon. Do we buy some stock into either Tampa or Toronto, or is this kind of one of those, all right, nice little run here, but may come back to the pack here in the coming weeks?
You know, Toronto is the team I'd be most worried about between the two of those. Now, the Rays are a team that just always sticks around. I already referenced the Rays model in the last 30 seconds. The Rays know how to develop from within, and they're phenomenal at it. The Blue Jays, however, like for the last 5 years, 5 years ago, think about how we were talking about the Orioles 2 years ago. Like, oh man, here comes these fighting young Orioles. That's what we were talking about the Blue Jays roughly 4 years ago. And now finally, maybe this is coming to fruition. All those young, talented players that have now been overpaid finally are coming into their own. And as you mentioned, Max Scherzer rejoining that team. They have a good pitching staff. And again, I'm still not the biggest believer in this Yankee team, especially without Gerrit Cole going forward. I'm very excited to see what everything's going to happen during the trade deadline, because one of the teams that I've been yelling the most about is the Arizona Diamondbacks over there in the West. But now that they've lost Corbin Burns and they are still around 500 in that division, if the Diamondbacks decide to become sellers in 1 month, all of a sudden the trade deadline goes kablooey.
I'm looking at my Metropolitans there in the East. Five-game lead now over the Phillies. And Jesus Lazardo is going to be on the bump today against the Cubs. I don't know what's happened to him in recent outings here. Are the Phillies free-falling like Tom Petty all of a sudden? Like, it feels like Zach Wheeler, and they might need some reinforcements there before the trade deadline if we're going to take them seriously.
We already know they need it already because they lost one of their best arms for 80 games and the playoffs, no matter what they do or say. So frankly, they need to be active in the trade deadline. And which version of Nola will we get when he's out there? I truly don't know what's going on with the Phillies. Now, the Mets are playing still, in my opinion, above what they actually are. I thought their pitching staff was going to be a serious problem this year, but here they are just only gaining space, and the Phillies trending in the wrong direction. The Phillies have lost 8 of their last 10. Mm-hmm. They're becoming an auto fade for me right now, and this is a team with arguably most dynamic offense in all of Major League Baseball. But again, that dynamic offense, once it goes cold, the Phillies go cold, and that's what we've seen in October the last 4 years.
All right, Cody, I'll give you the floor. We can either go into the Rookie of the Year market, or we can go into the Cy Young market. We can do both. I did it earlier in the show, and I just kind of parlay. You can do it on FanDuel. You can parlay awards markets together. And what I did was I went to the Rookie of the Year market, and Jacob Wilson, who has had an unbelievable year for the Athletics to start, Drake Baldwin right now, your betting top betting choice here for the National League. Parlaying those guys together gave us about, I believe, a 3-1 a payout total. The next betting choices in the American League is Jack Caglione and Agustin Ramirez in the National League. That gets you to 103-1 on that award parlay. Are we crazy for even entertaining that whatsoever?
Can I answer the question real quick? The answer is yes. You're absolutely crazy for doing it. But I do not begrudge you from doing this, because this is still a very fun thing to play right now. You don't think I look at Jack Caglione and be like, 8-1, why not? My thing is, I can never convince myself in getting involved in the rookie market. As is somebody that's gone up to the big leagues and seen what the opportunity in the big leagues are for certain rookies compared to other rookies, and seeing how guys go up and go down. Mike Trout was sent down twice before he became Mike Trout. And I wouldn't be shocked if Jack Caglione gets sent down at some point as well. I mean, the guy started 0 for his first 22. Now, I do firmly believe he's going to be perfectly fine. I see that guy's swing. It's got a lot of Bryce Harper to it, a lot of power to it. Looks like if he just touches it, it's going to go a very long way. But honest to God, I feel like if you don't take Jacob Wilson, which has literally no value to it whatsoever, I just don't know who else to pick, because Jacob Wilson's the only one of all these guys that have stats. I'm happy Roman Anthony's up, but seeing 15-1, I mean, guys, he has no stats as right now, and he's got a half a season to pass up Jacob Wilson. So it's his award to take.
Braves are 10 games under 500. The Royals are middling around 500. The Red Sox cannot win one-run games. Out of these teams that are kind of stuck in their proverbial mud a little bit, any of those three, and I'm looking at Bubich today, he's a dog at home against Clark Schmidt and the Yankees. Could the Royals be that breakout team? Is there one of those three that can actually figure it out in short order?
If you're giving me one of the three, I'm taking the Royals. I am not taking the Braves. I am officially out on the Braves. They're 10. I mean, they're 14 and a half games back right now, and there is simply no excuse about it. You could say Spencer Strider. You could say Max Fried is wearing pinstripes. You could say Acuña Jr. was out for most of this year. Austin Riley's in that lineup. Olsen's in that lineup. This team is phenomenal on paper, and they just simply can't get it going. I'm out on this team this year. I don't know what they're going to look like next year. I don't know what they're going to look like by the trade deadline. I'm actually surprised of all the manager firings we've seen this year. I'm actually kind of surprised we haven't seen one in Atlanta. Boston, listen, the American League East, I still do not think is a juggernaut. It's not the American League East of the past. I know they're 9 games out of first place, but if we're sitting here talking about the Blue Jays overtaking the Yankees, I'm not ready to put the brakes on the Red Sox just yet.
All right, we'll see if any of those three can rally. Very quickly, the picture behind you, you want to tell the people what happened there?
That would actually be a bases loaded RBI for those of you who don't know the rules of baseball. That is me getting smoked in the head and a run coming in a playoff game over there in El Paso. Take that, Fresno.
Hey, anyway, right? They don't ask how. They just ask how many. You got the job done there, Cody.
Bro, it was an 0-2 count. He did me a favor.
Cody, we appreciate you, man. We'll catch up again next week. Give him a follow, everybody, on X at Decker6. Very quickly, you're coming out to Vegas. Coming out to Vegas, $400 all-in package right now. Fantastic two-night stay, $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, daybed at Stadium Swim, CircleLasVegas.com. News or noise, it's next.
By the books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis. Great conversation with Cody Decker, talking all things Major League Baseball. We have some odd shifts that we're going to get to here. I'm not going to tell you what those odd shifts are in yet, but it's not the U.S. Open. But before we do all of that, we got to ask the pertinent question: is this news or a whole lot of noise?
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. This is noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
It's that time of year, Jensen, when we have these mini camps, who's in, who's out, and you see all the videos. We talk about these every year. Oh, my God. Shador just threw this bullet, and it looks great. He's going to win the job. Everybody just kind of pumped the brakes a little bit on that. But who is out at some of these mini camps? And I wonder if this is news or noise. And I'll give you a list of some pretty big names. TJ Watt with the Steelers. We talked about that yesterday. Trey Hendrickson talked about that as well. Scary Terry, Terry McLaurin and the Commanders. And Jonnu Smith looking possibly for a trade out of Miami. When you see those names, is that news or it's just too soon and it's more noise?
Well, I mean, the top two are obviously newsworthy with TJ Watt looking for the new deal. Trey Hendrickson, knowing how important he is now to an Al Golden run defense there in Cincinnati. Scary Terry, yeah. I just know that, you know, he's been, credit where it's due, he's been such a team guy. He's been through some thin years, and now you can understand why. I was like, hey, listen, you know, take care of the guy who was taking care of you before, you know, Jaden Daniels came to town. The Jonnu Smith one, yeah, I mean, I guess for teams that would be looking for an opportunity, if indeed the and JVT, credit where it's due, you know, said with us yesterday in his NFL draft or NFL season preview, looking at win totals, and said, you know, the Dolphins could be one of those teams he takes a shot on for worst record. And if they get out of the box really slow, then, you know, is that a name that gets entertained for a trade? What is it, Dave? Week 6 is the trade deadline for the NFL, if I remember off the top of my head.
Yep.
But either way, you know, you get those first 4 to 5 weeks in, and certain teams will be like, all right, well, Yeah, I don't know. So anxious to kind of see. That would be the one I would circle and say, all right, if there was a guy that would be moved and that could impact the team, would certainly be him. But obviously the first two names are the most important.
Yep, they are. And Jonnu Smith has been bannered about possibly to be traded there as well. If Miami's in this full Jalen Ramsey, they could really be. And again, that could affect your win totals here out there. If you're looking for smaller things like that, I think the Scary Terry stuff will get worked out in D.C., so that might be a little bit of noise. But you're right about the top two. That's certainly news. Is it news that Kirk is going to be there in the ATL, right? And then James Cook is going to be there. He's been bucking for a contract, too. And Micah. He's not going to be podcasting, at least for a couple days. He's going to show up here for these mini camps. What about those three names? And I guess specifically, Kirk Cousins feels like the one of, is he going to play the role of the good backup now to Michael Penix Jr.?
Well, I think you've been around long enough, your Kirk Cousins, to realize that things happen, and they happen quickly, and injuries, you know, just it is one of those parts of the NFL, especially early in a season, where he's in the win-win spot. There is a market for him, especially for other. Think about the other teams, Dave, right? If there's a catastrophic injury for a team that felt like they could contend, you know that there's going to be phone calls to Arthur Blank and company there in Atlanta to be like, all right, you know, let's make ourselves a deal here. And then internally, if Penix is, you know, either hurt or comes out, I mean, imagine the Falcons start 0-3. Is this still Michael Penix's team? And it's a matter of how he looks in those first 3 to 4 weeks as well.
That is fascinating. Again, the Cook and Parsons things are significant in that they're looking for new deals. Kirk might be looking for a new team. So this will be interesting to see how that plays out. Again, the Falcons have said, they're on record, hey, we're comfortable paying these guys what we're paying them, and certainly drafting Michael Penix still in the rookie deal and having Kirk be the backup. We'll see how long that lasts, but this is the list of who's in and who's out right now at the mini camps. I mentioned the changing numbers, and I don't want to say that all hell is broken loose here in the network, but remember, these were recreational odds that we posted here earlier in the show, here by the books, for the Jello Shot Challenge, right? Because there's actually a market out there at Bet Missouri on the schools that are going to be there where you're going to be, Jensen, at Omaha. And then we had some, like, Nish Gandhi joined us, and he said this to all of us here. Wow, how about this? One unit on Stormy Bonantoni for the Jello Shot Challenge with pizza money on Palm, Mike Palm, at 250-1. So we're thinking, wow, are some of these numbers mispriced? Could we have a little bit of these wrong? Well, how about our own? Oh, we got one more from Jamie Levy at 23. And he says this. He says, Paulie Howard is more of a talker than a drinker. I would think Derek Stevens is the guy, the man to beat. I would sprinkle some money, pizza money, on JVT. And you, Jensen Lewis, have a fantastic day, gentlemen. And we appreciate that sentiment. And again, my belief, as I handicapped this earlier, was if you want to win this, you can win this, but you have a lot of responsibilities, show responsibilities, that could limit your actual Jello Shot intake. JVT himself tweeted at us and said, what a terribly priced market. As simple, JVT at 10-1 is saying, where is the respect? And I did, remember, I said right away that if I was going to throw some pizza money, that it would beat it to JVT at 10-1. So these odds are going to shift. These are fake odds, people. Remember that. But these odds would shift. And did Stormy reach out to you and say, you know, maybe you got to take a flyer there and Stormy.
Yeah. I have been in contact with the hosts of Money Moves, both JVT and Stormy chiming in. Once these, four fun odds went public, JVT has found some added potential, and the odds have moved. JVT has released his own. He's made Derek an even shorter favorite.
Wow.
There, plus 250. I think, though, that he has one that might even be an even more advantageous one. He has added a field bet at 5-1, and that would be for the Circa and VSiN employees that will also be on the ground there. So that's actually a good way to look at it. He's got himself plus 650. He's got me 6-1, Mitch 8-1. Bill Ady coming in at plus 950, and then still having Stormy at 12-1. Is Stormy herself saying, y'all forget, I went to state school.
Ah.
So she said she does like the long shot. She likes being the underdog here. Perhaps some pizza money there. So, yeah, I would have to believe that our great colleagues and friends over there at Money Moves will have something to say about these updated odds and potentially what this market could look like by the time you and I come to air tomorrow live from Omaha.
Okay, here's the deal. I just don't want you to win this Thursday night because we have to do the show Friday morning. So I'm not rooting against you. I never would root against you in anything. But I'd like you to have your 3 hours to be ready to roll for us early in the morning. I will say this, too, that Tim Murray then shot back at JVT and said, because that field bet, as you alluded to, is very intriguing at 5-1. Is big balls at the D part of the field? Because if so, plus 500 is a great bet then. If big balls at the D is going to be there with Derek and with Mike Palm, watch out. Because remember, like Bill 80, Bill's got responsibilities. If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, Bill's got to get that newsletter out to you. We need Bill to be able to still function and do his job. So while I like the wild card side of this and what Tim Murray's bringing to the conversation here, Jensen, some of these people still have work to do, people, out there in Omaha. Right, Jensen? We can't just be doing jello shots.
Yeah, we'll and again, in true closing form, as I said, you look towards the later innings on Friday. And that's potentially that's potentially where you make your move. Very much a horse race at that point.
Once the haze in the barn,
see where the totals are.
Yeah, once the haze in the barn, if you will, then we might be able to get after it. Maybe Bill gets that newsletter out there a little bit sooner. By the way, you want to be a VSiN Pro subscriber, and you really should be, people. Right now, you're going to get $41 off an annual subscription by using the promo code book, title of this show, of course. You're going to get those emailed daily best bets to you right there from Bill 80. Exclusive betting splits, those are coming to you from Circa and from DraftKings. Access 24/7. To the VSiN Watch app. So if you're out there in Omaha, you want to check out the shows going on in Vegas and beyond, check them out on your VSiN Watch app. And that NFL betting guide is coming out July 1st. And to boot, you also get a free pre-order of Josh Applebaum's book, NFL Sharp Betting Playbook, No Nonsense Approach to It, to help you bet smarter all year long. So again, we're all going to have parts of that betting guide. That's going to be coming out on July 1st. Adam Burke's doing a great job of getting all of this stuff together in his crew. So you need to become a VSiN Pro subscriber if you have not already. $41 off right now by using that promo code book. All right, we have some more business to get to here when we come back with Wednesday in Major League Baseball. And very quickly, in our conversation with Cody Decker in the last segment, are you surprised Chris Bubich is a dog at home against Clark Schmidt and the Yankees today?
No. And again, you think about it, just a boatload of public sentiment on the Yankees, and especially with how yesterday was.
Yeah.
Intriguing spot, no question about it.
Maybe we'll dive a little bit deeper into that when you come back with us on WIF Wednesday. At the end of the show, we'll give it our full card for the United States Open that will begin this time tomorrow. Come on back. It is VSiN Betting by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis, and I do believe the proverbial Pandora's box has been opened in the Jello Shot Challenge odds, as we've been talking about here, and we put those fictitious odds up here at VSiN by the Books. And great retorts about the field bets and how to handicap that. Our own Kelly Bidwin's coming up next year with Gil Alexander in a numbers game. He tweeted at JVT and us and said, luckily I've been benched. He will not be in Omaha. Otherwise, this would look like prime Tiger Woods odds. Straight from Kelly. Like, you don't want any of that Florida State Seminole at Omaha, Jensen. I think it's a challenge to you, sir.
No, I know when to get in and when to get out. and the problem is, and I agree wholeheartedly with what Kelly would say, is that not only you take the shot, he'd order the double whiskey afterwards, and then he'd just stand there. He'd look like Ali standing in the ring looking over you. That's what I envisioned Kelly Bidlin like if he were at Rocco's with us this week.
He would be the Ali to the Sonny Liston in this contest if Kelly was eligible there in Omaha. That's going to be a lot of fun. Cannot wait to hear some of the other retorts as the shows go today here on VSiN. But it is Wednesday, and that gets us to Whiff Wednesday, Jensen. So let's break down some of these things that we said. We mentioned that Royals number against the Yankees today. They are dogs at home, even though Bubich is on the mound. But maybe a problem for Chris, and it's not just a problem for him, but for everybody else in baseball.
The way that Judge is going, and if you didn't see it yesterday, Aaron Judge, 469 feet, almost over the Royals Hall of Fame numbers out there in left field. It's a prodigious blast, you know, for him, even though we know that that's what he's usually capable of night in, night out. So here's how we're going to go. A couple of guys that have some pretty solid numbers against the probable starting pitchers today. Judge against Bubich, you mentioned, 5-for-8, a double and a homer. Jose Ramirez, really great numbers against Nick Lodolo. Probably one of the only Guardians that can hit a left-handed pitcher these days. 4-for-5 with a home run to his name. Ryan O'Hearn, maybe a little more off the beaten path here, but has seen Casey Mize, the right-hander for the Tigers, really well. 6-for-11 with a couple of bombs. Let's play it this way, Dave. Let's go Judge and J-Ram, 2 or more total bases each for plus 218. That's pretty solid. Ryan O'Hearn himself, I thought this was pretty juicy. 2 or more total bases plus $1.50. Go ahead and take that. And then the lotto ticket for today, Judge, J-Ram, O'Hearn, 3 or more total bases each. That one upwards of 23-1.
Oh, wow.
On DraftKings. So a little fun pizza money to throw on that one here today.
This will not surprise you at all. I only failed one class in high school. Physics. It's just, you know, it wasn't good. And, you know, everybody thought I was a smart kid. I was more street smart than I was book smart, Jensen. Are you going to have some physics that I have to try to master today in Major League Baseball?
Well, we know that starters try and master physics start in and start out, but how about we do some Quantrill physics?
Oh, no.
Yes, I'll see myself out. Cal Quantrill against the Pirates. Listen, the numbers have been really good. And sometimes you look for these situational spots that could be really beneficial. Career against the Pirates, I believe it's 4 starts for him, 2.38 ERA, 18 strikeouts and 22 and a third. His last 4 starts overall have actually been very respectable too, Dave. Under a 3 ERA, 17 punchies and 18 and a third. Mm. I do have an official play on this game. I do have the Pirates money line, but I think it could be lower scoring here early. So I like Cal Quantrill over on the 15 and a half outs. So just 5 and a third is what we need.
Okay.
Plus $1.40. I think we can get there. Do like his under 2.5 earned runs allowed at minus $1.15. So I think we could certainly see, you know, one of these 1-0, 1-1 games, maybe 2-1 through 5, maybe through 6 innings, and then the Pirates find a way to get to the Miami Marlins bullpen.
I like that handicap. Both these offenses have been struggling. I know the Pirates a little bit better as of late, but not a bad way to go there with Quantrill. And again, physics, that would be a big F for me. How about the Brewers? They're still playing pretty good baseball. The Braves, not so good. What do you have here?
It's just brewed different, especially in day games in Milwaukee. The Suds flowing a bit early, and that might leave, not to say that the professionals on the field can't see the ball, but apparently it's been tough sledding for anyone that comes in. Milwaukee at home games, period, 64% to the under, one of the top marks in all Major League Baseball. In non-division games, 64% to the under. Atlanta in non-division games, 57% to the under. All this adds up to me. Let's just tackle it two ways here. Let's go first 5 under. That's at 4.5, Dave. A little bit of juice here, minus $1.45. Mm. And then the full game under at 8 is minus $1.07. So remember, we played this in Colorado. Remember I told you, anyone interested in an under at Coors Field? It was looking rocking chair until the ninth inning gave us a heart attack, but it got there. So I think we see it again. Really good pitching matchup, too. Still believe it's what? Schwellenbach against Chad Patrick, who's been one of the great young rookie arms here in the National League. So Schwellenbach and Patrick, unders for the first 5 and under full game at 8.
You got a couple of bonus ads that I want to get to here. One in that Dodger and Padre game. Are you looking at Randy Vasquez as maybe somebody you want to back today?
Yeah, again, you just sometimes these strikeout totals are a little bewildering, but I get it now from a juice perspective what you're looking at. So, again, just for people listening, Sirius Channel 158 and also watching a VSiN Watch app, here are some starting pitchers for Whiff Wednesday from a strikeout market that I would look at. Randy Vasquez, three or more punchies. Yeah, you're paying through the nose here a little bit, minus $1.75. But if he can't get three, I'd be shocked. Zach Eflin going to get the start here for the Baltimore Orioles today. Five or more strikeouts at $1.60. Nick Lodolo, lefties against the Guardians, have been really, really solid thus far. Five or more strikeouts at $1.55. And then, hey, we'll go back to Coors Field. It treated us well yesterday. Kyle Freeland, four or more strikeouts against the Giants at a minus $1.45. Just some starting pitching, guys, if you want to target them individually. Those are ones that stuck out to me today.
You know, you mentioned Lodolo there for the Reds, trying to get the sweep there in Cleveland against the Guardians with those trifecta of lefties here. And Lodolo is going to round out that group. They are small favorites on the road there at minus $1.50. 15 in Cleveland today. Should they still be the betting favorite here with Lodolo?
I think so. I mean, God, I've watched this offense long enough. This is a putrid offense for Cleveland, and just does not feel like they have any continuity whatsoever right now. Outside of Stephen Kwan and Jose Ramirez here, Dave, not a squad you want to back at any point right now.
All right, a couple other games I want to just get your opinion on here. With the Mariners' struggles here, as they've kind of drifted now, behind the Astros, three games back. Brian Wu's going to be going today. You got the big lefty and Eduardo Rodriguez for the D-backs here. Both these teams kind of trying to find their way again. Bigger picture for these two teams, are we concerned, or will one of them, if not both, I know Arizona's got some injuries here, certainly with Burns at the top of that rotation, that might concern you long term. Would we think about buying either one of these teams? You know, I'm trying to figure out a way to get back in on the M's.
The Mariners would be my recommendation, and a lot of that predicated on getting the resources back into that starting rotation. Already getting George Kirby back, it feels like he's righted the ship now after a couple of bumpy starts. Remember Logan Gilbert on the mend as well for them, their ace, a guy that we had targeted potentially as a Cy Young winner in the American League side. Brian Wu, who goes today, has been really, really good for them overall. And so I definitely want to buy more stock in Seattle. Here's your problem with Arizona. They can hit the cover off the ball. They just can't stop teams from scoring right now. And the rotation injuries, of course, Corbin Burns, the big one. Zach Gallen had some intriguing comments the other day, saying that if we don't get this thing right, this clubhouse is going to look way different.
Whoa.
Come August 1st. And he is probably going to be a very sought-after arm here if Arizona continues to go south. Bottom line, Dave, the rotation has been inconsistent. The bullpen has just been dreadful. And when you can't close out games, that's a tough way to do business, especially in that division. 6.5 games out, beginning play today, the top spot behind the Dodgers. So I did not think that the three-team race we would talk about in the West would be Dodgers, Padres, and Giants. But here we are. And a big reason why those three teams are where they are, they at least have some semblance of continuity in the back end of their bullpen.
I always think of any given Sunday when Jamie Foxx says, there's going to be a whole lot of changes around here. Ain't going to be me. Like, is that what Zach Gallen's saying? Like, or does Zach expect to be one of the guys being moved?
Yeah. I to be honest, Dave, it will be one of those situations where Arizona's going to have to figure out what they want to do. And for what could potentially be offered, it will not shock me if Zach Gallen is one of those names mentioned with regularity.
Fantastic movie, by the way, if you haven't seen Any Given Sunday. Al Pacino's greatest performance. No, I'm just kidding, kids. I know he's won Oscars for other things.
The inches we need are all around us.
The 6 inches are right in front of your face. If you're into futures wagering, as you know I am, Jensen, fantasy, or just the thrill of calling your own shot, you need to check out xcutta.com. That's X-C-U-T-T-A. It's basically the future of how we're going to play. Think of it like combining a live auction with the strategy of sports betting, so you can choose what you want to bid on, players, teams, golfers, even horse racing. Over 1,000 athletes and teams to choose from across every major sport. So you're going to be set. You can set the terms, build your own auction, invite your friends to play. You can even start auctions for free. It's like creating your own mini sports book with your crew, and it's addictively fun. Here's a hookup. Email support@xcutta.com, mention VSiN, and they're going to send you a special 3-month player promo code just to get started. Again, that's xcutta.com, X-C-U-T-T-A. Futures wagering just got a serious upgrade. We're back. Got our best bets, including the U.S. Open. That's next year. VSiN by the books.
Your VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis, and we're getting a lot of feedback here on the Jello Shot Challenge. Remember, these are our odds here at By the Books with our producer Brandon Valesky putting these numbers out there for recreational purposes only, people. But it has created quite the firestorm here, Jensen. So.
Yeah.
We did get some response. Sam Panionovich, Sammy P, love you, Sammy. He said the disrespect for Mike Palm. How about that? That Mike Palm is 250
oh, wow.
to one. So Sammy P
yeah.
chiming in for Mike. Adam Rosenberg, he chimed in and said the Sharps banged JVT overnight. He opened 25 to one and then immediately bet down to 10 to one. So that can make it even lower. Chris Ebert chimes in and says Stormy has got to be a factor at 12 to one. A little younger, college recency bias. Stormy at 12 to 1. Like, age could play a part of this. Sleep is going to play a part of this handicap as well. So a lot of fun. We appreciate all the responses out there. And I have a feeling, kind of like watching Rory McIlroy's numbers at the U.S. Open drift this week, there could be changes, yeah. Jensen, in the marketplace come tomorrow, right?
Anxious to see what the overnight money is. And, you know, again, I believe JVT even added a field bet in there. And that right now, for the value, that might be the way to go, considering that many of us on the air will have those responsibilities to be professional through yeah. our shifts. And then once that clock hits zero for those shift responsibilities, I mean, that's 9 a.m. local time for me out there Friday. So, you know, we shall see. And just putting it out there, you know, it's not how you start. It's how you finish, people.
Right,
if one Kelly Bidlin knows that from a Seminole who's probably done it from dusk till dawn, I think we know where the bread's buttered here.
Cannot wait. As we say, yesterday's price is not today's price. Can't wait to see what the price is tomorrow. let's get to our best bets. Of course, they are brought to us by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. And I just want to note that obviously as we embark on the U.S. Open tomorrow at Oakmont, do you know how many players, Jensen, played in Oakmont in 1994 that are currently in this field this week? The answer is one, Phil Mickelson. Lefty is the only guy that had played in 1994. Obviously, we saw when Dustin Johnson won it back in, 2015, 2016, when DJ, he could make the case he's the reigning champion because they played every decade, once a decade at Oakmont. So Phil was there in 94, and he's the last guy to have played and is going to play again here in 2025. That does get me to my card, Jensen, and I want to give this out there. Now, remember, these are longer shot plays. These are not full unit plays on this. And the reason why I stipulate that, Jensen, is because you're trying to beat Scottie Scheffler. That's what you have to really look at here. So I'm doing these in fractions to get up to a unit play. And I do think these guys could be in the mix, and then hopefully we've got opportunities to possibly monetize as the week goes. We mentioned Xander Schauffele and the attitude you have to have, I think, to win this. 25 to 1, I got him at William Hill. It's the best number I could find. I really did a lot of shopping in the last 2 days around town. So played X-Man at 25 to 1. And Jensen, it's really a play on attitude that this is a guy that mentally does not check out. So even though his game might not be in the best shape coming off that rib injury, I think he's going to be around for the weekend here. And if you're around for the weekend here at Oakmont, you just never know. I think both you and I like Victor Hovland's shots this weekend. I know Wes Reynolds does. 54 to 1 is the number I got at Circa here behind me. Look, the Brooks Koepka play. Did you see his quote this week, Jensen? He said, Oakmont's not that difficult. It's not that tough. It's not that big. Like, I like that from Brooksy, that at least he's telling me he's not scared, Jensen. He's not scared of the golf course here for a guy that's won two U.S. Opens in his past as well. Daniel Berger, 101, got that over at South Point. The guy's over there. And Berger, to me, is a guy that's been a champion waiting. It's been a minute now for Daniel Berger, but when he's in the fight, he stays in the fight, and that's what I want. Cameron Young, I've talked a lot about him this week at 115 to 1 here at Circa as well. I just think for him, for Cameron Young, oh so close last week at the RBC, and I heard him after that round talking about that 3-wood he hit on 18. He said, I couldn't have hit it any better. My game's in a really good spot. He was upset that he didn't win last week, and I like that with a chip on the shoulder for Cameron Young, New York guy, not that far here in Pennsylvania. And then how about another former U.S. Open champion playing a really tough golf course when he won up there in Boston? Matty Fitz at 125 to 1. I'll say this. We think of him as a little hitter. He is not. He's got sneaky length, and he can be really straight and really accurate. So at 125-1, those are my outrights that are not named Scottie Scheffler, Jensen. What do you make of that picks? Those picks before I get to my tournament matchups?
Yeah, and I think we learn a lot right on Thursday just about how guys are handling what we anticipate to be the speed. And, you know, everyone says it's like putting on a sheet of glass. Okay, that in and of itself. And then once we start to see what the rough does and what the shot selection is from the rough, like our guys just like, I'm not even messing around. I'm not even going to try and get through here. I just got to get it back out in the fairway. So I know that I have a clean ability to hit the shot that I want to. So again, the mental gymnastics that I think guys go through in the first round, let alone the first two, that's a key for me. I told you my only play is going to be Bryson to win it. I don't have full confidence in any other market.
Yep.
I've pitched in places where I'm like, okay, this is all on me. I cannot rely on my fielders. I cannot rely on anything else. I'm going to have to take advantage and do it myself. And that's why I think Bryson for me, and again, got the boost of DraftKings. So it's plus 885 for me, but yeah, I'm with you, dude. It is going to be remarkable after 18 holes to see what the reaction is, and in real time, how guys are making those shot decisions.
And by the way, around town here, at least in Vegas, you can shop around for different matchups, and you get these at the majors. You don't get these week in and week out. So I went over there to South Point, found a couple that I really like. These are fades of a couple guys. Akshay Bhatia hits it all over the lot. Hits it really far, really talented. I think it's going to be a really tough week for Akshay, so played against him and played against Wyndham Clark as well. He's just not in good form as a former U.S. Open champion at the LACC. This is not a golf course to be spray, so give me Patrick Reed, give me Justin Rose against those guys in the individual matchups. Let's get to your best bets that you have today, Jensen. And I think you've added a couple WNBA plays, and you've been really hot with the women's basketball here.
Sometimes you just look at some data points or you look at kind of where the money is, and you just don't overthink it here. So lock these in yesterday. VSiN Pro subscribers have these in pocket. Sparks Aces over 166.5. That's now up to 167.5. Wings and Mercury over 167.5. That's at 167 right now. So still opportunities to jump in there. I went back and I cashed out. It won't be on the site, but I got out of the Lynx and the Storm over, now on the under 157.5. So I think just some more of those plays I was able to get in, and now you kind of see where that Lynx and Storm total down to 155.5. So feel better that I got on the opposite side of that. A couple other ones to throw out to you, Dave, in Major League Baseball, some early slate action. Mentioned the Pirates. We're on Cal Quantrill for his over on outs and under earned runs a lot. I do think that we do get a lower scoring game early. And then I think battle of the bullpens here, advantage Pirates. So a little bit of a higher money line price, minus $1.63. I do think the Mariners find their way back to their winning ways. Brian Wu on the mound there, as you see the numbers here for the Marlins and the Pirates. Mariners, D-backs, do think the offense for the Mariners rules the day here. You can get a better price there at circa $1.14 in the money line. I got $1.23. Here at DraftKings, and then maybe a plus money play for people that want to look into the Athletics and the Angels game. Maybe a spot here against Kyle Hendricks, who will get the ball for LA. I do like the Athletics on a plus 103 money line price for them this today on this slate as well.
We got a $500 trifecta from GBank, first bet, and us here at Visa. And all you have to do is open up a GBank Visa signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at first bet to trigger that $500 trifecta. You can also receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature credit card. First bet is going to give you a $100 deposit match. Then we here at Visa will complete the trifecta with a free Visa Pro subscription through October 31st. That, in and of itself, is a $200 value. So that is the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This is a one-time promotion. It's limited to customers opening up a new account in response to this offer. Will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. Jensen, I know you're standing by, getting ready to travel out there to Omaha with the rest of our crew. We talked about the disrespect in the odds market here for the Jello Shot Challenge, and JVT did chime in on the disrespect from Mike Palm that Sammy P put out there, and he said, business trip. He's a pro. Won't get sloppy like some of these others. That's not you, Jensen, right? You're a pro's pro, too.
Absolutely. This is what it's all about. Business trip. You handle business on and off the air. Enough said.
Absolutely love it. Jensen, can't wait to see you out there in Omaha tomorrow, my friends. Safe travels. Again, everybody, we're going to be out there, Money Moves, and certainly follow the Money Crew as well. Up next right here, Will Hill is going to join Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin. That is next here on A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.